Morning, today's Daf and Chulin's Mem Dal. We're in Mem Gimel Amud Beis. We start today with the Torah of Eshet. Sometimes translated as the pharynx. It's the top of the esophagus. The Gemara now is going to be having a discussion and a debate regarding the Torah of Eshet. So again, what we all know is that in order to shecht an animal, so you have to cut through both demonim. You have to first go through the trachea and then go through the esophagus. And we know that in order to shecht, there has to be a makam shechita. You have to be shechting in the correct area. So the correct area, In the first paragraph, we spent some time discussing what the correct area is vis-a-vis the trachea. We talked about the upper portion of the trachea. I say upper, I mean the part that is towards the head, the cranial side, if you will. But we really didn't discuss the esophagus at all, and so the Gemara over here is going to be having a discussion regarding what is the most northern point, what is the most cranial point regarding the esophagus. The esophagus, as we know, is a muscular tube that sends the food down from the throat into the stomach. We're all familiar. The top of the very esophagus. So, what exactly is going to be the upper limits of the esophagus? So that's Gemara's discussion, and Itmar. So the Gemara here quotes a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. So Torah of Eshet, Rav Amar b'Mashu, Shmuel Amar b'Rubo. So what the Gemara now is going to be discussing is that regarding this Torah of Eshet. So again, we're talking now about the top of the esophagus. By the way, mistake already. The what I described earlier is the pharynx. So the pharynx is the turbot sevesh. No, we're good. Okay, so So how much of it needs to be punctured, severed, in order for the animal to be rendered a trefa? So Rav says b'mashu. So in other words, basically what Rav is saying is, presumably, that basically the turbot sevesh, you know what status it has? It has the status of the veshet. Meaning, as we learned now consistently throughout our Masechta, we said already numerous times, we said it at the opening of the third parak of Eil Trefus, which we just started 2 days ago, we said that in order for a Vesha, in order for the animal to be a Trefa, all you need is Nekuvas HaVesha. You just need a puncture in the Vesha. So over here, what Rav is saying is that when you're at the top of the Vesha, the Torbetz HaVesha, so the same thing is true. A puncture in the top of the Vesha would render the animal a Trefa. Shmuel says, no, Rov. In other words, for the animal to become a trefa, you need the majority of the turbot sevesha to be severed. Now, the Gemara goes on to explain, Rav Amar b'mashu, makom shechitahu. So the Gemara says exactly what we just said, that according to Rav, the reason why a nekiv in the turbot sevesha would render the animal trefa is because that's simply the makom shechita. Shmuel Amar b'ruah b'lav makom shechitahu. So, and as far as Shmuel's concerned, no. The turbot sevesha does not have the status of the makom shechita, and so therefore, it is not going to be a trefa with a nekiv, but rather the majority of it has to be severed in order for the animal to be rendered a trefa. Now, hainu turbot sevesha. Now, the Gemara says, now, what way are we going to know at what point the turbot sevesha ends and the vesha begins? In other words, here's what we know for sure. We know for sure that the turbot sevesha is the very top. And we know that at a certain point below the turbot sevesha, you now start having the status of vesha. We also know that once you hit the vesha, it's the makom shechita, and also a neck would render it a trefa. So these are all things we know. What the Gemara now wants to know is, good, so where does the Torbetz HaVeshet end, and where does the Veshet actually begin? So, Amar Maria Bar Okva, Amar Shmuel, Kosher Chotcho Marchiv, Zehu Torbetz HaVeshet. Chotcho Va'omeid, Bimkomo Zehu Veshet Atzmo. So the Gemara now is going to give us not so much a measurement, but basically a simon, a sign to know whether or not it's the Torbetz HaVeshet. So basically, here's what you're going to do. In other words, obviously, this is a general idea of to know when the Torbetz HaVeshet ends and the vesha begins, you cut that area. Now, if the area expands, so that means that we're hitting the area of the turbot sevesha. But if it's omid bimkoma, when you cut it, it doesn't expand nor does it contract, so that's considered the vesha itself. So amalu Rav Papi marlo amar hachi, oman Rabbi Barabaye. So Rav Papi says, look, my master, who he identifies as Rabbi Barabaye, does not say that. El kosher chotcha v'omid bimkoma zeh turbot sevesha. See, he says, look, and if you're cutting that area of esophagus and it's omid bimkomo, that's the turbot sevesh. If you cut it and it contracts, so that's the veshet atzmo. Okay, so basically what we have now is that as we start at the very top of the esophagus, working our way down towards the stomach, so here basically what we know is as follows. At one point in time, it would expand when you cut it. It stands in its place when you cut it, and it contracts when you cut it. And so, if we can have these three areas, so the Amoraim are arguing, we know for sure that if it expands, that's the Torbetz HaVeshet. We know for sure that if it contracts, it's the Veshet Atzmo. What if it's Omid Bimkomo? So that area is subject to a debate amongst the Amorim. Yonah Amar Zera Mavla Asa. So Yonah Amar Zera says that it's the area of the Mavla Asa. The area of the Mavla Asa, meaning Rashi describes Makom Beis Abliya Kari Torbas Samach LeRosh HaNekev Ma'od. So in other words, it's the area where the food first is introduced into the esophagus, so basically the very top. V'kama Amar Avavia Pachos Misa'arta V'adiv Mechitasa. So the Gemara here gives linear measurements in the form of, well, take a look at your wheat kernel and take a look at your barley kernel. It's going to be just slightly greater than that of the wheat kernel, but less than that of the barley kernel. Okay, so a really small amount of the top of the esophagus is going to be the Torbetz Veshet, according to this tradition. Ha'utur da'av lebnei Rav Ukva da'aschol be'shchita b'Torbetz Veshet, v'gam Rabbi Veshet. Okay, and the Gemara now tells the following story, which will go well into today's daf. There was an animal that was shechted, and the shochet, so the knife, he shechted a little bit high, a little too cranial, and what happened was is that the knife started going into the esophagus at the area of the Torbetz HaVeshet, and then it cut into the actual Veshet itself. It's a fair question. I don't know. Okay. So the knife started going through the Torbetz HaVeshet, and it ended in the Veshet. So just a little bit of the Torbetz HaVeshet was cut. So now, what do we rule on this? Now let's consider. Meaning, if you really think about it, if you follow Rav or you follow Shmuel, it should be fine. Meaning, let's say this outside first, and then we'll see it inside in the Gemara. Let's say we hold like Rav. What does Rav teach us? That the Torbetz HaVeshet is a, how much of it makes it a trefa? A nekev. But what does that mean according to Rav? Presumably what that means according to Rav, it's a makam shechita. So therefore, according to Rav, if you're shechting in the Torbetz HaVeshet, it's the same thing as shechting in the Veshet itself. And therefore, it should be fine. Good. That's if you held like Rav. What if you held like Shmuel? Well, what's the Torbetz HaVeshet? It's not a makam shechita. But we also know that according to Shmuel, that as far as the Torbetz HaVeshet is concerned, it also requires a majority of it to be severed in order for the shechita not to be good shechita. Good. So what does that mean according to Shmuel? That even if you hit just a little bit of Torbetz HaVeshet, it's not the end of the world. The animal's still kosher. You need to cut the majority of the Torbetz HaVeshet in order for the animal to be rendered a trefa. So if I held like Rav, the shechita is good. If I held like Shmuel, the shechita is good. Now listen to what Rava does. So the Gemara, we're back in the Gemara. The Gemara says that v'gamar veshet amar Rava ramina lei chomer de Rav v'chomer de Shmuel v'tarifna. So Rava's ruling is that we're going to say like Rav, we're going to say like Shmuel. And more accurately, we're going to say like the Chumrah of Rav, and we're going to say like the Chumrah of Shmuel. So, v'tarfinale, Chumrah de Rav d'amar Rav b'mashua, because Rav says that if you just make a smallest nekev in the Torbetz HaVeshet, the animal would be regarded as a trefa. And v'hama Rav makom shechita, but now, according to Rav, isn't that a makom shechita? Meaning you shecht in the right area. So the Gemara says, no, kishmul damar lav makam shchitahu. No, because in that regard, I'm going to hold like Shmuel, or I'm going to say that it's not a makam shchita. So the Gemara says, Shmuel, hamaruba. Wait one second, if you're going to be holding like Shmuel, so you only need to cut a majority of it before it becomes a trefa. So the Gemara says, kirav damar b'mashahu. No, because in that regard, I'm going to be holding like Rav, in which it's going to be a mashu. Excuse me. So basically what we have now is Rava giving up psak, but basically what he's doing is he's choosing and selecting various aspects of Rav's ruling and aspects of Shmuel's ruling in order to arrive at a chumrah and that the animal be treif. So the matter got kicked around, rolled around, until eventually gets to Rabbi Abba, and Rabbi Abba says, I don't understand. If I were to ask Rav the question, Rav would tell me it's mutter. If I would have asked Shmuel the question, he too would have told me that it's mutter. So zilo amr lebreder of Yosef bar Chama delishlim demetur lamare. And so now basically he says to Rav, you know what you did? So you just ruled erroneously. So it was malpractice on your part to rule that the animal was treif. And furthermore, you're going to have to make restitution on that which you ruled. Now, making restitution on that which you ruled, is that always the case? No, it's not always the case. And in fact, if you take a look at the bottom Rashi over here, Rashi three lines from the very bottom at the end of the line, Demetura Lamare, Shekvare Achilo Laklavim, Rashi points out that, first of all, this animal is already lost. In other words, they already gave the animal to the dogs. So you basically lost the animal based on this ruling of Rava. Now, if the animal was here, that wouldn't be so bad because we would just simply reverse the ruling. But in other words, we lost the animal already. We know the halach is that if you make a mistake and it's such an egregious error that it's toa bidvar mishnah, so then chozer, so then you just simply retract on your ruling. As we're about to point out over here. Now this is a very subtle area of halacha, meaning what is the status of the Torbitz of Eshet. You can't call this a makom mishnah, but Rashi says, no, yes you can. Because what conceptually just happened over here is that when Rava issued a ruling, he was following two chumras that are not in alignment with one another. If he asked Rav what to do, Rav would say it's okay. If he asked Shmuel, Shmuel would say it's okay. And so what he did is he collected a chumra from Rav and he collected a chumra from Shmuel. He put the two together in order to render the animal a treifa. That's toa bidvar mishnah, as we're about to learn in just a moment. You can't just simply select chumra and chumra and chumras that are by definition mutually exclusive to one another, put them together in order to arrive at a ruling. That's toa bidvar mishnah, and so therefore what he could have been done had the animal been there is he could have been chozer, says Rashi. Back to the Gemara. Wait, just one second. So Amar Mar Bere de Ravina Mosim L'Tuyuf T'Kapi Sanaya de Rava. Now I'm going to ask a question against Sanaya de Rava. Now that's a very harsh expression. It means I'm asking a question against the enemy of Rava. It's a euphemism, meaning he's challenging Rava, but at the same time he doesn't want to say it so directly, so therefore he uses Sanaya de Rava. It's just a euphemism. We see that often throughout the Gemara. So here we're going to be learning a brisa together. We saw this back in Erevin. That's a long time ago in Daf Yomi. So we saw this back in Erevin. And if a person wants to follow like Beis Hillel, so by all means. Let me say it more accurately. The halacha falls like Beis Hillel. That's the opening line of the brisa. But then it gets confusing. If a person wants to follow like Beis Shammai, that's fine. If a person wants to follow like Beis Hillel, that's fine. Now, obviously, we're already perplexed. If the opening line of the Braisa is La'olam, that the halacha falls like Beis Hillel, so why would the Braisa then immediately follow up with dealer's choice? Stay tuned. We're going to be asking that question in just a moment. Mekula Beis Shammai, Mekula Beis Hillel Rasha. Now, if you decide that you're just interested in picking out kulas, so the Gemara says you are a Rasha. And Mechumre Beis Shammai, Mechumre Beis Hillel, Alav HaKasav Omer, Haksiv B'choshech Olech. As we now turn to the top of Memdal Amar Aleph, and if you're just going to be following the Chumras of Beis Shammai and the Chumras of Beis Hillel, you are a fool. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Koheles. Ela Ike Beis Shammai Kukuleim Kukumrehem, and Ike Beis Hillel Kukuleim Kukumrehem. So rather, what you're going to have to do is you're just simply going to have to be consistent. If you're going to follow Beis Shammai with his Kulas and with his Chumras, and same if you're going to follow Beis Hillel. Now, that's the end of the Braisa, and obviously, all this becomes so perplexing. Hagufa Kasha. The Gemara says, I read the Braisa, and I don't know what's going on. Amar lo'olam halacha k'divrei Beis Hillel. The opening line of the Braisa is, the halacha falls like Beis Hillel, and then v'ad etani, harotz alasos k'divrei Beis Shammai yaseh. And meanwhile, then the Braisa says, and you can choose. Well, what does that mean? How can you tell me you can choose immediately after having said, the halacha falls like Beis Hillel? Lo kasha kan kodem basko kan lacher basko. To which the Gemara's answer is, that's not a difficulty. One is before the bas kol was issued, and the other one is after the bas kol was issued. Meaning, at one point in time, this had to do with an incident that we learned back in Bav Metzia regarding a particular oven, in terms of whether or not it was a state of tumor and a state of tahara, and a bas kol came out, under those circumstances, that was with Rabbi Eliezer, and that was the Tanur D'Achnai. Now, over there, in that particular situation, the Gemara B'Metzia, so they said, Lo B'Shamayim Hi. Okay, so that presents a little bit of a difficulty regarding our Gemara over here. Tosos acknowledges it, Tosos answers that. In the meantime, however, here's one way the Gemara is approaching it. When we said that the halacha always falls like Beis Hillel, that's after the Bas Kol. But then when the Braisa was telling us that you could choose, that was before the Bas Kol was issued. That's one approach of the Gemara. The Gemara gives a second approach. Or it could very well be that when the Braisa was giving us the alternate position of you can choose, that is reflective of the position of Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua says the Baskol came out, and he says that we do not have to listen to the Baskol. Again, the Gemara in Bava Metzia says that we don't have to pay any attention to the Baskol whatsoever. Seemingly difficult with our Gemara. See the Taptosis for a discussion of that. Okay, it's Yisodas Dik. It's really fundamental in terms of where the Torah lies, Bashamayim or down over here. Anyway, but we're going to continue in the Gemara. Just before we continue in the Gemara, a really important point made by Rashi on the very top of the Amud. I'm not going to go through the Rashi inside, but just to highlight the basic point of Rashi, when we say that if you're following the kulas of both your Rashi and you're following the chumras of both, you're a fool. So Rashi says, why are you foolish by following the chumras of both? We're talking about where the chumras of both are necessarily mutually exclusive. Meaning that, like, Rashi gives the example that we saw just the other day. How many vertebrae has to be missing in order for it to be considered no longer a tumas mace, tumas ohal? So machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether it's one vertebrae or two vertebrae. And then the Gemara says, I'm going to take the same halach and apply it also to a trefa. What would render an animal a trefa? Same position. So in other words, so in that circumstance over there, what would be a kula in one area of halacha would end up becoming a chumra in another area of halacha. So there, if you decide to be machmir on both, you're foolish. Why? Because you are crossing yourself in terms of which general position you're taking. So that's Rashi's explanation of why it's so foolish to follow chumras of Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. Anyway, mikom makom kasha. So, but when all said and done now, we have a strong difficulty against Rava. Remember, all this brought us back to Rava, because when Rava, when the animal was shechted, and a little bit of the, and a little bit of the turbits of Eshet was cut, so Rava says treif. Why did Rava say treif? Because I'm following the chumra of Rav, which is that a nekev in the turbits of Eshet renders it a treifa. I'm also following the position of Shmuel, which is that it's not a makom shechita. So he adopted the chumras of Rav and Shmuel, and to which the Gemara says, Rava, that was absolutely erroneous. It was malpractice on your part, because in order to arrive at your psak, you had to follow the chumras of Rav and the chumras of Shmuel, and as we just got done learning, you're not allowed to do that. So, is there any defense for Rava? And the Gemara says, yes, there is. We can, in fact, defend Rava. Amar Rav Tavus kula k'rav avda. So Rav Tavus tells us that really the truth of the matter is when Rava issued his psak, we got it all wrong. He wasn't picking chumras. That was our understanding of what Rava did. But that's not the correct understanding. The truth of the matter is that Rava followed Rav consistently. Now, how can that be? Rami Bar Yecheskel, Amar lo tatzitzu lula aniklale dekal Yehuda achei mishmei derav. So when Rami Bar Yecheskel comes in, now Rami Bar Yecheskel is the brother to Yehuda. I assume it's Yehuda Bar Yecheskel. I assume they are both sons of Yecheskel. And Rami and Yehuda were both students of Rav. Now, we know more popularly, just simply because it comes up more throughout the Gemara, Yehuda being a Talmud of Rav. Rav Yehuda being a Talmud of Rav. But his brother also was a Talmud of Rav. And here, Rami Bar Yecheskel makes a very strong statement against his brother, very strong. And he says, don't listen to my brother when he says over all the psakim of Rav. Meaning, he's not always giving us the correct Masorah. Now, I know, that's very strong. But he says it. And he says, Hachi Amar Rav, Veshet Nasnu Bo Chachamim Shir, Mechlal De Torbetz HaVeshet, Lav Makom Shchitahu, V'kamar B'mashehu. So in other words, when Rav said that a mashu of the turbits of Eshet is going to be a posel, disqualifying the animal, rendering the animal trefa, we originally thought it's because the turbits of Eshet is not a makam shechita. That's not accurate. Meaning that according to Rav, the turbits of Eshet, how much of it is going to render the animal a trefa? I'm sorry, let me say that again, let me say it more correctly. We originally thought it's because, according to Rav, it's makom shechita. That part is incorrect. Meaning, it's not true that according to Rav, what is true according to Rav is that the turbits of Eshet, a nekev is going to be a posel. But what is not correct, what is not accurate, is that we assumed, oh, so because it's a nekev, that's going to be a, is going to be, a, is going to make a treif, so therefore it's a makom shechita. No, that part's not true. It's not a makom shechita. Meaning that the real shita of Rav is that for the turbits of Eshet, it's not a makom shechita, and a nekev is going to render it a treifa. Oh. So in other words, that when Rav was paskening, he wasn't just simply picking a halacha from Rav and a halacha from Shmuel. This is all lefi shitas Rav. A nekev in the turbits of Eshet is a posel, and it's not a makom shechita. Good. So we have successfully defended Rav on his psak, even though all the other Amoraim did not agree with that. Not clear from the Gemara which side the Gemara favors, meaning in terms of whether Rav's understanding of Rav was correct or not correct. Okay. We continue in the Gemara. We're on Mem Dalam and Aleph. We are about a third of the way down, and now we're going to be talking about the upper and lower parameters of the esophagus. Again, the esophagus is one of the two simanim that need to be cut in order for the shechita to be a kosher shechita. And so a discussion now in the Gemara in terms of what are the upper and the lower limits. Now, we already discussed that at the upper end of the esophagus, the side cranial, so you have what's called the turbits of Eshet. So, and we already described that the turbits of Eshet may or may not be a makom shechita, a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara now is going to give other ways to identify what is the upper and the lower limits. So, lamala ad kama. So when we are now looking at the cranial side. So, Amrav Nachman akide tfisas yad. So it's going to be a tfisas yad. In other words, from the beginning of the throat, from where the food enters into the pipe. So from that area to where the esophagus begins, to where the makam havesha begins, which is the makam shechita. So the Gemara describes it as a tfisas yad. Now, what does that mean? So it's not clear. Rashi over here offers two pshatim. Rashi says, basically, it could be how much your hand is going to hold. Rashi describes it as either three or four etzbaos. So basically, in other words, from the top of the throat where you can wrap around either three or four fingers. Okay, that is a little bit difficult because for smaller animals, this comes back to your point. So for smaller animals, that covers a lot of their throat and a lot of their esophagus. But Rashi also says, Vanishamati, I'm reading the Rashi inside, Achizas chude tzipornayim. Basically, like your fingers are serving like as tweezers, and the very tips of the nails is considered the area of the top of the throat that is not a makom shechita. Anything below that being a makom shechita, obviously allowing for a larger area, a significantly larger area, to be the makom shechita. Rashi says he does prefer the first pshat that he gave. Basically, it's how much your fist, three or four fingers, are going to be holding. Lamat ad kama. Now, as we go now down to the end of the esophagus, what's going to be the lowest point of the veshin in which would be a makam ashchita, a kosher area of cutting? So Amrav Nachman, Amrav Abaravuad Kedeshi Asir. So basically what happens is as follows. The inside of the esophagus is a muscular tube as we described already many times, and the inside of the esophagus is a very smooth area. Now the esophagus, the food is going to go through the esophagus and it's going to empty out into the keras, into the rumen. The rumen is a stomach that is lined with it's basically hair. In other words, you know, not like hair in our head, but hair-like follicles at the inner lining of the rumen. And so basically, a good way of demarcating where the esophagus ends and where the rumen begins is when you start seeing that hair. So, and obviously, by the way, you'd have to cut it open in order to see it. It's an inner lining.
How do you see it?
You don't see it. In other words, you know. And if you look at the anatomy of a cow, which I've been studying now lately, you know, it's been like a little hobby of mine. Like, there is no way you can shecht an animal and get anywhere close to that point. Meaning it's so low, and the ribs are already covering it. Like, it's right. You and I are seeing the same thing. So, like, even though we are conceptually arriving at this point, like, I don't know how the shochet is even going to get anywhere near that point.
Yeah, but that's where it passed the trachea.
We're not discussing the trachea. For me, a lot of this is more conceptual than impractical. But okay. Anyway, continuing back in the Gemara, so. Achi Asir. Ini the Gemara says Vamar Avina Amar Geneva. So Keres, sorry, I'm sorry, Amar Geneva Mishmeh Derav Tefach Beveshet Samuch LeKeres. So the Tefach Beveshet Samuch LeKeres. So Zeru Keres Apnimi. So this already is a Keres Apnimi. So the interior Keres, the interior rumen, is already going up the esophagus by one tefach. So amayki kashachet bekeres kashachet. So the Gemara says now, based on what we just got done saying, so now what you're shechting is no longer the esophagus, but what you're shechting now is the actual keres. So ema tefach bekeres samach leveshet. So the Gemara just simply amends the statement just a little bit. It's the tefach on the keres which is close to the veshet. Okay. So in other words, so we're still good in terms of coordinating these two points. So zeret keres apanimi, that's the reference to the keres apanimi. Ibai semiki kama rav betura demasir tfei. Or maybe when Rav was giving the description of an ox. So there, the hair-like protrusions, the interior hair-like protrusions, could even start up a little bit earlier. So again, so what the Gemara now is suggesting is that for different animals, the point of demarcation might be slightly different. Amrav Nachman Amr Shmuel Torbetz Avesha Shinita Kula Melechi Kasha. And now the Gemara has a discussion regarding a dislocated pharynx. And so basically, if I can, I'm going to give just a quick description. I already recommended highly the most recent publication in terms of what would help us understand the anatomy of an animal better, Rabbi Yaakov Davalak. So he name of his sefer is Tmunei Chol. I highly recommend it. It's really good. And just a little bit regarding a dislocation. I'm reading over here just a description of the anatomy, so we understand it just a little bit better. The trachea and the esophagus are attached to the mouth of the animal by a short muscular canal known as the turbus avesha, which is the pharynx. The muscle of the pharynx are attached to the upper extremity of the trachea and esophagus on one side, and then on the other side are moored into the bone, a small bone in the lower neck area under the mandible, as well as to the general muscles of the lower section of the head. It's possible for the lower jawbone, which does not provide anchorage for the pharynx, to be removed without disturbing the mooring of the pharynx. So you could basically take out the jaw, the lower jaw, and still the and still the esophagus is still rooted in its place. The Gemara rules that an animal with such a condition is kosher. However, if the muscle of the pharynx themselves are detached from the lower jaw area, the animal is non-kosher, having a condition known as ikur simanim. When the pharynx is not completely detached, the animal is at times kosher and at times not, as we're going to see in the Gemara in just a moment. Okay, so hopefully that helped a little bit. And again, as I said already numerous times, a picture is worth a lot over here. So if you want to take a look at the pictures inside, I just read from the second section in which he gives a little bit of a description anatomically.
And the animal can live without the lower jaw.
The medical questions, by the way. So I'm gonna refer you to some of the excellent doctors here in the room. So it's fair that you're asking me, but I'm just not a good person to answer. Okay. So we're back to the Gemara. So. Amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel Turbetz Avesha Shinita Kula Melechi Kasher. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Nachman, in the name of Shmuel, that Turbetz Avesha Shinita Kula Melechi, if it's totally removed from the lechi, it's going to be kasher v'tanatuna. Nita lechi atachton, if the lower lechi was to be removed, kasher. So the animal could still be kasher. So as we just got done describing, it's possible for the lechi atachton to be removed, and yet the simmons to still be in place. Maskel v'rapapa v'aika ikur samanim. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. That's ikur samanim, is that not? So v'ularapapa kasher masnisa. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. What about the Mishnah? Nita lechi atachton kasher. So the Mishnah tells us that if the lower jaw is to be removed, the animal is still going to be kasher. So bishlam amasnisa l'rapapa lo kasher hadi akir akure hadi igum egume mi ilui samanim. So the Gemara says, okay. So as far as the Mishnah in of itself, that's not a problem. In other words, if the veshet were to be totally dislocated from the actual bottom of the jaw, so under those circumstances, it would in fact be a trefa, right? We could even say a novella, possibly a novella. However, if the simen itself is still in place, it's just the jaw itself that's removed, so then the animal is fine. Ela Shmuel kasha, but according to Shmuel, it's difficult. Lotema kulo, ela ema rubo. So when Shmuel originally said that it was dislocated, he didn't mean that it was totally dislocated. He meant that the majority of it was dislocated. So in other words, if the totality of the pharynx was dislocated, so then that would be considered a trefa, and the shechita would not render it a good shechita. In fact, we could possibly say the animal is even nevela. Under those circumstances, it for sure would not be good. The animal would not be kosher. What Shmuel was discussing was where the majority of it was dislocated. So now the Gemara says, okay, but now we have another problem. So you're telling me that if all of it's dislocated, it's a trefa. And Shmuel's telling me that if the majority of this is dislocated, so then it's going to be okay. On the other hand, we have to contend with another statement that was also made in the name of Shmuel, which is that the majority of it was dislocated, the animal is in fact going to be a trefa. So Amar Shisha Bereda Rav Idi had the Ikpal Ukpule, Hasam the Ifruk Ifruke. So the Gemara now talks about two different types of majority dislocation. If you take a look at the bottom Rashi over here, the Ikpal Ukpule, Shiniklaf Mealabasa, Ikapel, Kamov Niklaf, Domelo, the Kaplos, Avanim, the Masechet Sota. So the Kapila, says Rashi, is very similar to the word Klipa, which means that it's kind of like it's taken away its majority from as if we were peeling it away, as opposed to ifruke ifruke kedavar hanekar bekoach shenekar kan maad ad rubo de oso miyad mechuber eno mechuber biyachad hilkach lav chiberhu. So in other words, if we're just peeling away, but carefully peeling it away, again, nobody's doing this intentionally. But if you're peeling it away, but there's still an attachment, that attachment is a good attachment, even though it's not the majority that's being attached. If, however, it was a really hard tug, in which point in time now, most of it is dislocated, some of it's still connected, but over there, because it was pulled away really hard, so therefore, even though there is still some connection between the pharynx and the lower and the lower portion of the throat, nevertheless, that's not a connection, says Rashi, lav chiburhu, and so therefore the animal would be rendered a trefa. Okay, so Adkan, that takes us to the end of the sugya of the Turbetz Aveshet. So again, a really complicated discussion, and even with a basic understanding of the anatomy, still a very difficult sugya in terms of whether the Turbetz Aveshet is a makom shechita, not a makom shechita, how much of the Turbetz Aveshet needs to be severed in order for the animal to be rendered a trefa, where exactly does Turbetz Aveshet end and where does the veshet itself begin? What happens if there's a dislocation of the Turbetz Aveshet? All of it's dislocated, the majority is dislocated, a distinction made within the majority. Okay, so obviously a very complicated sugya regarding the Turbetz Aveshet. We continue in the Gemara, one Mem Dalin, Amud Aleph, on the very bottom of the Amud of Psukas HaGargaris. And now we're discussing, we're back at the trachea. In order for the animal to be a trefa or a nevela, again, going back to the beginning of our perek, right, these two, Veshet and Gargaris, even though it comes off as from our mission that's a trefa, it may in fact be a nevela. But in any event, we know that if the majority of the trachea is cut, so under those circumstances, the animal is in fact going to be a trefa, possibly a nevela. So kama psukas agargaris, then we beruba, vikama, kama psukas agargaris, beruba, vikama ruba. Now we say the majority. Now when we say majority, what do we mean by that? Rav Amar Rav Avya, the Amrila Rav Chalala. So it could be either the majority of its thickness or the majority of its interior. Now Rashi here spends a lot of time, as does the picture books, giving a graphic description regarding the fact that its interior circumference is not the same as the exterior circumference. I highly recommend, I'm not going to go through the Rashi right now, but I highly recommend that you take a look at the pictures and you could see visually, it's really good, that the interior, excellent pictures over here, that the interior circumference of the trachea is vastly different than the exterior circumference because of just simply the mass amount of tissue, connective tissue there is on the upper side of the trachea. So once again, once you understand the anatomy, you understand the Gemara's point over here, that it is not, when we say the majority of the trachea has to be cut open, we do not mean the majority in terms of its exterior, but rather we mean its interior. The Gemara continues now, Hayi psukas agargaris asa l'kama d'rav. So there was an animal with a split gargaris that was brought in front of Rav, yasavika badikle barov ovya. And what he did is that he examined it, but with its thickness. So Amalei Rav Kahana Veravasi LeRavli Manatin Rabbeinu Berov Chalala. But wait one second, I don't understand. How come you're measuring how much is split based on the thickness of the trachea? Didn't you say that we should be measuring it based on the interior and not on its thickness? In fact, the matter was brought in front of Rabbi Bar Chana, and he in fact rendered the animal to be a kosher animal. And after issuing a psak that the animal was in fact kosher, based on his measuring system, so what'd he do? So he bought from some of the animal. Okay. Now, a number of follow-up questions the Gemara has to this incident. So, again, everyone got the basic idea, meaning that it was a shaila in the animal because some of the trachea was already split, and it was a question now of measuring to see whether or not it was rove or not rove. Two different ways to measure. One is by accounting for the thickness of the trachea. Another was not to account for the thickness of the trachea at all. Based on one measurement, the animal would have been pasul. Based on another measurement, the animal would have been kosher. And so what he does is he measures it based on the more lenient measurement, meaning he only measured based on the interior, not on the exterior. And he found that the animal was in fact kosher. And not only did he render the animal to be kosher, but then afterwards, immediately afterwards, he then bought from that animal. Good. We all got the story down. Now the Gemara says, I have a lot of follow-up questions to the story. Number one says the Gemara. So, B'tleisar Yisrael Pshita Bisra. V'heichi Avid Hachi, the Gemara says, first and foremost, how could he do that? V'atanya Chachim Shittim Ein Chavei Rosh HaLatahir. So Asar Ein Chavei Rosh HaLahatir. So question number one. A psak was already issued regarding this animal. In other words, the animal was brought to Rav. And Rav said, it's no good. In other words, he measured him based on his measuring system. So he arrived at the conclusion that the animal's treif. And then what are you going to do? You're going to get a second opinion? Okay. Shopping for, and not only are you shopping for it, but you're shopping for a kula, so you're not allowed to do that. And why you're not allowed to do that? The Gemara never says it clearly. Certainly a discussion in of itself. Why you're not allowed to do that? Kavod Rav is one possibility. Okay. So anyway, Shani Hachid Rav lo asa meisar. So as far as question number one, the Gemara's answer to that is Rav never said that it was asar. Rav just simply looked at it and said it's a problem. It's a problem. But in other words, he didn't issue a psak. And because he didn't issue a psak, so therefore he was allowed to go and ask a second opinion. They came into Ori Bechacham Hechi Achamina, Vaxiv Omer Aha, Shemelokim Mahine Nafshi, Lomituma Benevela Trefalo Achalti Minerva Adata, Voloba Bifi Basar Pigal. So the Gemara's second question is, and then now there was a Shaila in the animal, and it required a heter of a Rav. And the Gemara's next question is, okay, so now we're talking about an animal that may or may not have been a trefa, and a psak was issued, to which the Gemara says, and would he have eaten from such an animal? You know, Yecheskel, this is the second time in the Masechta, we're going over the fact that one of the praiseworthy attributes of Yecheskel Hanavi is that he never ate from an animal that was subject to a shaila. So I'm starting again from the pasuk in Yecheskel. V'yomer Hashem Elokim Hinei Nafshi Lo Metumah V'Nevel Av Chefa Lo Achalti Minura Ve'Arata V'Lo Ba B'Fi Baser Pigal. And the Gemara now is going to break down phrase by phrase. Yecheskel is pleading with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that I've not only been following the strict letter of the law, I've even gone above the letter of the law. Hinei Nafshi Lo Metumah Shlo Yarti B'Yom Lavoli De Tumas B'Laila. I never had thoughts, improper thoughts during the day that led me to becoming a Baal Keri at night. I never hastily ate an animal. Meaning, as we discussed this in the previous parak, the end of the second parak, if an animal is a mesukenis, it's about to die. Nothing's wrong with it other than just simply old age. And so what the halacha allows us to do, and remember Tosfos back in the second parak, even lichatchila says Tosfos, is that you can shech the animal and you can eat the animal so that instead of the animal dying and being a nevela, the animal now is going to be dinner tonight. However, Yecheskel says, I went above the letter of the law and I would not eat an animal that was a mesukenis. And as far as the last thing that Yecheskel says regarding himself, if an animal required a shayla, and even though the psak was that it's mutter, I did not eat it because of the question to begin with. Another possibility of what he meant is that even though Yechezkel himself was a Kohen, and even though he himself was entitled to Zor L'chai v'keva, still he would never eat from an animal before the Matnos Kahuna, the Zor L'chai and Keva, were taken off from the animal. Anyway, point being, however, is that there was a Shaila regarding the animal, and Yechezkel would not have eaten the animal, and meanwhile this great Rav ate from the animal. So, Hani Mil Le'milsa D'Talya B'Svara. Rabba Barbachana Agmare Samach. So the Gemara says, look, if it's just simply what we would say in our modern parlance, if it was a call that he had to make, could have gone either way, and he decides, you know what, my logic leads me in this direction, that's a shaila. And even though the Rav paskins, and the Rav has every right to paskin, and we have every right to listen to the Rav, but in other words, that's something which, to begin with, was questionable, and he made a call. However, if it's something that he wasn't making a call, it wasn't a logical issue, in other words, this is a tradition that I have, I'm basing my ruling based on a tradition. So under those circumstances, it is not even a shaila. Good. So over here, when he was saying that we were measuring the split in the trachea, and how do we measure? Using the exterior or just the interior of the trachea? And he measured based on the interior, which came out to be a leniency, because he didn't have to factor in all the thickness of the trachea. So it came out to be a leniency. So he wasn't saying that misvara. That was a tradition that he had. So the Gemara says, okay, but when all said and done, again, let's just review what happened. He paskined on an animal that may or may not have been a trefa. He said it wasn't a trefa. And then he purchased from the animal. Okay. And so, aren't we worried about chshad? Meaning, the rabbi now seems to be self-serving. And isn't he going to now be benefiting from the psak that he issued? And meanwhile, the Gemara quotes a brisa. D'tanya danasid nzika v'chayev timi v'tiyer asa v'hitir v'chein ha'idim she'idu kulam v'shayin likach. You know, after a ruling is issued, so everybody is allowed to buy from something, buy from the item that was ruled upon. Aval amru chachamim herchek min akiyur umin hadomelo. However, the chachamim gave wonderful advice to the posek. If you paskind on an item, allowing it, and then you going ahead and purchasing it, it doesn't look right. It's herchek min akiyur. You should stay away from this kind of behavior. Although technically fine, but it's not behavior which would result in a good reputation. So the Gemara says, Hani mili midi demizma mishuma. Hach metakle muchach. So the Gemara says, well, it really depends. If, let's say, after issuing a ruling, you bought from the item, and he didn't give you a proper measurement, and he basically said, oh, you know what? You've been very good to me. Your psak was wonderful for me. You know what? Take it. Just give me a couple of dollars. That is unseemly. That's something that a Rav should not do. However, if after issuing a ruling, he's now paying on the animal market value per pound, so over there, he's paying its full value. There's no problem whatsoever. And the Gemara says this is in fact so. Ki hada rabbi shara trefas of zaba mina bistra. So Rava shara trefasa, he allowed a trefa, and not only did he allow the trefa, but then he bought the meat of that animal, which again was questionably a trefa, but Rava allowed it. Okay, right. So, okay, could be. Amrle Bas Rav Chista, the daughter of Chista. That we know this throughout. Rava, by the way, the gears that we have in the Gemara is Rava, but most probably it's Rava. So the daughter of Chista, Rava marries the daughter of Rav Chista. So she, throughout Shas, is always known as the daughter of Rav Chista, the wife of Rava. So Amrle Bas Rav Chista, Abba Shari Buchra Velo Zavamine Bisra. So he says, she says, look, let me tell you a little bit about my father, meaning your father-in-law. I'm sure it was great in the family how she compared her husband to his father-in-law. But he says, but let me tell you a little bit about my father. I remember my father gave a psak on a bechor, and he wouldn't, and in other words, and he matired, and he allowed it, meaning in order for us to be able to eat a bechor, so it has to have a mum, it has to be a mum kavu, it has to be passed by Rav. My father did so, and my father afterwards would never buy from the meat after he issued a ruling, because it was unseemly, it looked self-serving. So the Gemara says, Amar La, so he now is calmly explaining to his wife, Hani mi le bechor da shuma mizdavin, hach metak le mochach. So he says, okay, you know what? I'll explain it to you. Meaning what your father did is that was a bechor. We know the halach is that once a bechor is mutter, so yes, you can eat it. And yes, you can sell it. But what you cannot do is you cannot sell it by the pound. It has to be sold with shuman, it has to be sold with approximation. And there, your father didn't want to do it because now that it was sold by approximation, so it could easily be viewed that your father's going to get a good deal because he was the one who allowed it. On the other hand, even though I allowed this particular treifa, it's not a treifa. I'm saying it's not a treifa. And it's going to be sold. And how is it going to be sold? It's going to be sold by weight. And I'm going to be paying per pound. No problem whatsoever. Now, what are you going to argue now? That they're going to sell me the best piece of meat from this animal? I got news for you. I always... I got good news for you. I always get the best piece of meat from this animal. So therefore, there's never a problem whatsoever. Okay. We'll pause over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow from Amar Rav Chisda. So a quick recap today. Today, for half of our daf, we talked about the turbits of Eshet, the pharynx, the top portion of the esophagus, Makum Shechita, not a Makum Shechita, where exactly the turbits of Eshet ends and the Veshet itself begins. So a lengthy and complicated discussion in the Gemara. Not so lengthy, it's just an Amud. But still, a complicated discussion in the Gemara. We went over the cranial portion of the esophagus. We also went over the caudal portion of the esophagus as well. What exactly are the parameters within Shechita? And then the Gemara moved on to a discussion of a dislocated pharynx. Under certain circumstances, the animal is going to be treifa, the animal is going to be kosher. Even if the majority of it is dislocated, still the Gemara made a distinction even there regarding some or the majority of it. Sometimes it's going to be kosher, sometimes it's going to be pasul. And then psukas agargeres. Psukas agargeres, if the trachea split more than the majority, so the animal is going to be a treifa. Again, we could also say nevela. The animal is going to be a treifa. Then a question of when we are measuring the majority, are we measuring it just interior? Or are we measuring also the exterior as well? The Gemara had an issue where the animal was brought to one Rav, he ruled stringently, brought to another Rav, he ruled leniently, and there were many follow-up questions to that story. How can you go get a second opinion? How can the Rav, after he was matir, eat it himself? How can he buy it? Shouldn't he be worried about chashad? So a number of issues that came up as a result of that.